Dave, Wednesday's high also right around 92 with still a generous supply of showers and storms here and there. But I think by Thursday and Friday, the storms start to thin out in number. Not as many storms around. High temperatures edge back to the middle 90s. Our weather app has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts wherever you go. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, the best quality building materials in the River Region for decades. From common builds to special orders and local delivery. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The body of an Alabama man who had been reported missing has been found. Police in the city of Opp identify the victim as 36-year-old Lewis Swinger. Four men have been charged with his murder. State troopers in Alabama will be taking part in a week-long crackdown on speeding starting today. Operation Southern Shield comes after a study found Alabama has a speed-related death rate significantly higher than the other southeastern states. The crackdown continues through next Sunday. And a team from Alabama is in England for an international air show that starts today. The governor and economic development specialists are at the 2018 Farnborough International Air Show near London to pitch Alabama as a location for aviation-related industries. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Hey, this is Ray Bowles with Prattville Carpet. I want to tell you about Randy Burkhalter and the Prattville Farm Center. They offer all kinds of things for your home, your garden, your animals. I buy all my dog food from them. All my cat food comes from them. The chickens love them. The goats, the horses, and they even cleared out the bottom of my property with his grinding machines and made a nice beach for the kids to play on. If you need anything around your house, your home, for your pets, all the way to the bushes in the gardens, give Randy a call today at 365-5400.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. At Alabama Home Mortgage, we do just that, mortgages. It's all we do, so we do it better. Allow me to introduce myself. My team and I are River Region locals. We live, work, and play here, so we know the area and we know our neighbors well. Our interest is your interest. Alabama Home Mortgage is not like the big banks. At Alabama Home Mortgage, we do just that, mortgages. It's all we do, so we do it better. Before you call a bank or out-of-town lender, give me a call. You'll see the Alabama Home Mortgage difference. I assure you, you won't be disappointed. What are you waiting for? Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223 or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. There is a difference in mortgage lenders. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Troy King. I'm the Republican running for Attorney General. My opponent, Steve Marshall, the real Steve Marshall, he's a Democrat. Appointed by a Democrat, ran as a Democrat alongside Nancy Pelosi, gave thousands of dollars to Democrats in their liberal agenda, including abortion. Marshall even had an Obama bumper sticker. The bottom line is, Steve Marshall betrayed us. He took a crooked appointment from Robert Bentley and then let Bentley off the hook, because that's what Democrats do. Enough is enough. It's time to end the deal-making that's made Montgomery a cesspool of corruption. Steve Marshall knows that the only way a Democrat can get elected Attorney General of Alabama is by pretending to be a Republican. Don't let Steve Marshall get away with it. I'm Troy King, the Republican for Attorney General. Paid for by the Friends of Troy King, P.O. Box 240818, Montgomery, Alabama, 36124.
Bobby Bright once said he had no regrets about voting for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. Guess that's why he voted with Pelosi's liberal agenda more than 70% of the time and accepted $25,000 in campaign contributions from her, and why he defended Obamacare.
Alabama's true conservative choice, Martha Roby. Roby's been a fierce advocate for Alabama values in Washington. That's why Roby supported the Trump tax cuts and stood up for Alabama farmers by voting for the Farm Bill. Martha Roby is working hand in hand with President Trump to move Alabama forward.
Our choice for Congress is clear. Fall with Pelosi and Bright, or stand tall with Roby and President Trump. Tuesday, July 17th. Vote Martha Roby for Congress.
The U.S. Chamber is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.uschamber.com.
President Donald Trump.
I'm looking for judges, people that will respect the Constitution.
Judges like Alabama's conservative Judge Sarah Stewart.
I'm Judge Sarah Stewart. I think it matters who serves on the Supreme Court.
Like President Trump, conservative Judge Sarah Stewart will uphold the Constitution. That's why she's running for the Alabama Supreme Court. More than 25 years of legal experience and over a decade on the bench, conservative Judge Sarah Stewart will protect our Second Amendment gun rights, defend the life of the unborn, and guard our nation against evildoers who threaten our way of life. Honest, fair, experienced. Conservative Judge Sarah Stewart is uniquely qualified to sit on Alabama's Supreme Court. Judge Sarah Stewart will ensure swift, firm, and fair justice. On July 17th, vote Conservative Judge Sarah Stewart to the Alabama Supreme Court. Paid for by Judge Sarah Stewart, Alabama Supreme Court, 2029B Airport Boulevard, number 206, Mobile, Alabama, 36606.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Monday, starting your week out right. 272-9228. That's where we are. Reminder, first-time callers, let Joey, the producer, know we'll get your name in for the Fresh Market. $50 gift card, $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Plus, we're at the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. We'll give that away. That's open to any caller that would like to get in on the action. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the very patient Rodney. Rodney, you're on with Dr. Mark Conversino.
Hey, how y'all doing today, Dan?
Excellent.
All right. Watching a little bit of this today, kind of doesn't shock me. I hear over and over that Trump is not hard enough on Putin. Okay? This is the same old bunch that wants all our military leaders to tell them what they're going to attack, what day they're going to attack it, what time they're going to attack. So these bunch of nuts need to realize that our president is not going to tell us what he's done behind the doors and said with Putin, which I believe that they would love to have. So whatever he told them, however positive effect it may have on our relationship with Russia, that they can move in for the kill and try to destroy it, drag it back, or just disintegrate it as fast as they can. But after the issue with Trump, and Merkel with the gas situation with Russia, I think it's perfectly clear to anyone who's got an ounce of sense of what Trump told them behind the doors. And so I'd like your opinion on that. What do you think these conversations went on and what they might have sound like?
Let me rephrase that also. What did you think about what Trump said about the gas deal with Russia?
Yes. Well, again, I wasn't party to the closed-door conversation, but it has always struck me, and again, this is my opinion only, it has always struck me as rather odd that in this current environment, the Germans would continue to pursue what's Nord Stream 2. There's already a gas pipeline that runs from Russian territory under the Baltic to terminals in Germany. And I should point out at this point, former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder works for the Gazprom subsidiary in Germany. And so here we are, people are clutching their pearls and taking to the fainting couch over talking to Russia. And the Germans are pursuing a multi-billion dollar energy deal that is going to facilitate the movement of Russian gas, which, as I mentioned earlier, they're highly dependent on, that at the same time moves our and Germany's allies to the east even more into irrelevance, takes away any leverage they might be able to exercise over the Russians in terms of transit fees and the physical movement of oil and gas. And so my opinion is, you know, this is it's reality. And if other countries are willing to say, yeah, we're doing this because we see it in our national and financial interest, and then just set aside all the moralizing, I can actually live with that. But it's the rending of garments and the, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the clutching of pearls while at the same time they're pursuing an extremely lucrative financial deal with the Russians that gives me a little pause.
And also they're going right through countries and they're not doing any terminals there for people who need the gas, and they're being forced to buy it back from Germany.
Well, they are. It does, and it gives Germany that much more economic leverage in Europe at a time when the United States is really, really coming into the market for liquefied natural gas that would help Europe, Germany in particular, diversify its sources rather than bind them ever more closely to Russia. I would say, you know, to wrap this part up, that I think oil and gas gives Russia far more influence over Europe than the Red Army ever had.
Interesting.
Yeah. One other question, real quick. These major tankers that the U.S. has now for transporting natural gas around the world to these nations, do you think that's going to play a role with all that coming online?
It will to some degree. Again, you know, depending on the customers, I do know countries in Eastern Europe, like Lithuania, all the Baltic states, Poland, are building liquefied natural gas terminals. The Lithuanians have one in operation now that would provide all of the energy requirements, natural gas requirements for not only their country, but the others, and they have started to receive shipments of American liquefied natural gas.
So out of Mobile Bay.
It's something that the United States now has plenty of, and we ought to use it.
Good deal.
Thanks.
Appreciate talking with you.
Thanks, Rodney. Let me go to the phones and go to Tom. Tom, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Dr. Mark Comerceno.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Tom. I would just like to ask him a question. Over there in Russia, what do the people think there's a word for it. How are the people living? Are they working over there? Because you never hear about their qualities of life anymore. And what I mean by that is it's hard to explain. There's a word for it. But how is their life over there, the people, because they can't. If they vote for anybody they want, are they going to get in trouble, or is the group they want going to get murdered? Is there any truth to that?
Tom, hang on. Let me interpret for Mark.
Oh, okay.
I remember Russia from, or Soviet Union from the 1980s.
Right.
And you could tip somebody a dollar and you kind of owned them. If you actually handed them a $1 bill, they would go crazy. But just hang on, Tom. But things were pretty shabby there.
Right.
What is it like now?
It's uneven. The cities, and again, I'm speaking from 4-year-old data, but the consumer culture has hit Russia big time. Vladimir Putin has actually created, courtesy of the oil and gas boom, a no-kidding middle class in Russia for the first time in that country's existence. They didn't have much of one under the czars and really didn't have one under the Soviets. There were the party, the apparatchiks, and those in the system, and then everyone else was kind of... They weren't starving, unless Stalin wanted you to starve. But they also lived kind of a very basic existence. The figures I've seen, maybe 30% of the population would be considered middle class in a Western sense, though that tends to be more in the urban areas, less so in the rural areas, which, as our embassy would often point out, you get half an hour outside Moscow and you're back on dirt roads.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember Red Square was ground zero, and
right.
as you went out in a concentric circle from
right.
there, it got worse and worse and worse
right.
and worse.
But there is...
St. Petersburg, same thing.
Yes, and so that's a double-edged sword for Putin, because with a middle class comes rising expectations. And so the protests that we have seen, and there have been some large protests both last year and again this year, largely surround corruption. Corruption is endemic in the system. And this sense that their upward mobility is being limited. And so right now, Putin is dealing with that, as I mentioned earlier, with this kind of besieged fortress mentality, right, that they'll replace Sicilian tangerines with ones they get from somewhere down in the Caucasus, for example, or they don't need French agricultural products when they can grow their own. So it's really a mixed bag, depending on where in Russia we're talking about, urban and rural, or the far eastern parts versus the European.
But there are stratas now where there weren't in the 80s.
Oh, they're clear. There's a mega rich.
The oligarchs.
The oligarchs, and then there are some that are living extremely comfortably, and like I said, a healthy middle class.
That's interesting.
That sends their kids abroad. They're free to travel abroad.
That's different.
Yeah, and it's really kind of a mixed picture.
So do you feel he does more to people that run against him?
Well, I just want to say I think he's a manly man. He has been known to deal, shall we say, very harshly with his opponents.
Yeah, everything. I know he followed Trump. That's why I thought he was gay.
What? I didn't catch that part, and there's not a 10-foot pole in the room to touch it. So
he might be listening, so we better shut up.
Tom, thanks for the telephone call.
Well, that was interesting. But if I would, obviously, it is the policy of the Russian government in their terms to punish, i.e. kill, enemies of the state wherever they find them and however they're defined. So he has assassinated regime opponents. He has, as the czars in the past did, confiscated the fortunes of those oligarchs who ran afoul of him. And literally taken them right down to the last penny. Mikhail Khodorkovsky spent 9 years in a Siberian labor camp after being the richest man in Russia. He's now living in exile. On the other hand, I think the average Russian, if he ran a legitimate open election, I still think he would win. If for nothing else, Russians look around and ask themselves, well, who are the alternatives? He's done a very good job of marginalizing what opposition there is.
Let me go to a break here. I want to come back and hit the oligarchs and kind of see if you can explain that to the audience. It's a word that's mentioned an awful lot, but nobody ever gives any definition to it. Newstar 93.1, the Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back right after this.
In the USSR. The Dan Morris Show. Been away so long, I hardly knew the
place. Gee, it's good to be back home. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Cole. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
When the Washington swamp needed to be drained, Americans turned to political outsider and businessman Donald Trump to shake things up and give conservatives a voice. Now the Montgomery political swamp needs to be drained, and political outsider and small business owner Will Dismukes is ready to shake up state government and be a conservative voice for us. Will Dismukes is a father and husband, dedicated Christian and lay minister. Dismukes started his own flooring company and is working to create jobs and provide opportunity in his community. And as a business owner, Will Dismukes is following President Trump's lead of putting business principles to work for taxpayers. Dismukes will drain the swamp of career politicians and professional bureaucrats that keep government from serving good, hardworking families. A Christian conservative and political outsider with real-world experience, vote conservative Republican Will Dismukes for state representative on July 17th. Paid for by Will Dismukes for state representative. P.O. Box 680-806, Prattville, Alabama, 36068.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hi, I'm Angela from Capital City Ace. If you haven't already noticed, summer is here, and I would like to invite you all to come out to our store for your lawn, garden, and other outdoor needs. Regardless if it's a big project or a quick fixer-upper, your local Ace Hardware folks are here to help you. We've got a variety of plants, pesticides, bird seed, and other outdoor tools. So on your next outing, make sure you stop by Capital City Ace, Montgomery's helpful place.
July. Vacations and hot weather. Alabama and Brubaker. We have loads of cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans here at Brubaker Motors. Chrysler, Dodge, Ram Truck, Jeep, Fiat, Kia, and Infiniti. All in one place and in Prattville. This month it is huge. The all-new, I mean really new, Infiniti QX50 compact SUV or the redesigned Infiniti QX80 full-size SUV will carry everything to the lake or the beach or the park. Comfortably. Kia, save huge on the 2018 Soul crossover before the 2000 model arrives this month. Or the third row seat midsize Sorento SUV made just down the road. Ask about the friends and family plan to see if you qualify for additional savings. Have you seen? Have you driven? The all-new redesigned Jeep Wrangler, smoother, still rugged, the off-road SUV you want. Or the Grand Cherokee or Cherokee, its slightly smaller sibling. And don't forget Fiat, the even smaller sibling. All at Brubaker Motors this week.
Will Dismukes' candidate for House District 88 has become mighty popular in Montgomery. The last 3 weeks, big money special interest groups are showering him with campaign cash. Dismukes has received more than $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Let me repeat that. $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Autauga and Elmore County voters are very concerned. Who will Dismukes represent? The hardworking, tax-paying citizens of District 88 or Montgomery's big money special interest? These special interest groups' top priority is an immediate 6 cents per gallon gas tax increase, with an additional 18 cents per gallon gas tax increase over the next 4 years. It's time for Will Dismukes to answer the question. What did he promise the Montgomery swamp dwellers in return for all that campaign cash? On July 17th, the voters will have a clear choice to vote against another political game player, beholden to Montgomery special interest groups, who are committed to raising our taxes.
Paid for by Al Booth for Alabama House, 512 Wetumpka Street, Prattville, Alabama.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's hit the phones before we get back into the subject here. Clint, you're on board with Dr. Mark Comersino.
Good day, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent. Good, thank you.
All right, sir. You know, I got one question for you.
Yes.
Is the KGB still active?
They don't call the KGB anymore.
They are now called FSB, basically.
FSB.
The Federal Security Service. But they're still in the same headquarters building, the Lubyanka building, Lubyanka prison in Moscow, and many of the same senior members of the FSB were, like Vladimir Putin, mid-level, even junior KGB guys.
Well, I set up a KGB agent in 1974 in Germany. And that's why I asked that question. I met the KGB, and I set him up, and they got him.
Who got him? We got him, or the KGB got him?
No, the Germans got him.
The Germans.
Yeah, he wanted manuals, made the manuals for the vehicles. And I reported to my chain of command. They told me to follow through with it. And I met this man for several days, and when he slid that envelope across the table for payment, and they grabbed him, they grabbed me. So.
Wow. Well, they have a Foreign Security Service, the SVR, and then their military intelligence, the GRU, but they still operate in ways that would be very familiar to anyone that dealt with the Soviet security apparatus in the Cold War. In fact, much of what they do now, even their use of information and this so-called meddling, is just a direct growth, direct outgrowth of what they did during the Soviet period. So anybody that's fought that knew them then would know them now.
All right, sure.
Thanks for the telephone call, Clint. Oligarchs in Russia. Explain that system for the audience so they can kind of have a sense of it.
Well, in a lot of these former Soviet countries, when the economy was so-called privatized, in many cases you had party officials, high-ranking factory managers and all that were in prime position to begin taking these physical assets and I would use air quotes here, privatizing them and becoming the owners or the CEOs. In fact, most of these fortunes of these extremely wealthy men and women were, shall we say, gained through other than completely honest means. And so you've got this peak at the very top of the economic pyramid. Obviously, Putin sits at the top of it.
And he's one of the wealthiest men on the planet, isn't he?
He is, though he denies it, that he, you know, he lives like a monk and is very frugal, ramen noodles three nights a week. But on the other hand, then the others,
coupon clipper.
That's right. He does the thrifty nickel is in his mailbox every week, or the thrifty kopeck in his case. So these are hyper rich. I think what differentiates them from a free and open economic system is that, to some degree, their assets are certainly at risk, if not co-owned by the government. Many high-ranking government officials, they don't have the conflict of interest laws that we do. You may have a deputy prime minister, for example, Medvedev, when he was a deputy prime minister, was running or was a high-ranking official in Gazprom. Igor Sechin, who is high in the security services, I think at last I checked, was the CEO of Rosneft, one of Russia's biggest oil companies. And they are really in a class of their own. They live very well, but they also know that should they run afoul of the regime, they can literally lose it overnight.
How much do they interact with Putin, do you think?
It depends on who we're talking about. Obviously, those that are in the government, kind of straddling both worlds, may deal with him on quite a routine basis. Others, it's transactional, it's situational. None of them have gained and maintained their fortunes, though, without the forbearance of the regime. If they are determined to be a threat to the state interest, if they run afoul of Russian laws, if they appear to be a political threat, then they will lose their fortunes. In some cases, they have gone abroad, and the Russians have pursued them overseas.
But that's also a way that Putin can do pressure in the areas where these different people are in Russia.
That's right, and many of these now are targets of the sanctions, because the thinking is that in a system such as his, where we're putting broad-based sanctions on a society to create that upward pressure to change is not going to happen. You go after the men and women who are the most immediate props to the throne, as it were, and put the hurt on them. And so they are unable to travel. They're under travel bans, visa bans, credit bans, and it begins to impact their fortunes. And we have seen a significant drop in the wealth of many of these oligarchs as a way to shake their confidence and their loyalty to the regime. I think, perversely, it puts them under more pressure because the regime is not stupid and knows what's going on, and so is at it makes them more beholden to the regime, if that makes sense, because now that they have other outlets to credit or profit or even travel are closed off, they now become even more dependent on the regime for rent seeking or favor granting and that sort of thing.
Let me go to a break. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back with Dr. Mark Comercino right after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
You get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Paid for by Bobby Bright for Congress.
Okay, we all remember when Martha Roby said this in 2016.
Mr. Trump, I would like for you to step aside.
Apparently, Martha Roby is still a never-Trumper. This is what she said just this morning on Fox News about that comment.
2 years later, Roby is having to explain the comments she made against him.
No regrets.
Really, Martha? No regrets? Is that how you treat your friends after all President Trump's done for you?
I'm Bobby Bright. I voted for Donald Trump to shake up the establishment, and he is doing just that. But he needs our help. Washington is broken. Lobbyists running the show. Wasteful spending and Republican insiders turning their backs on our president.
There was a wise farmer from right here in District 2 that once said, "The second kick from a mule has no educational value." After 8 years, the voters of District 2 have now been educated, and they've got some kicking to do of their own.
I'm Bobby Bright. I approve this ad. We've got a swamp to drain.
Twinkle, twinkle, big swamp star, career politician and lobbyist you are. Voted for the largest tax in state history, $1 billion from you and me. Twinkle even cut deals for special interest dough, a career politician lobbyist new low.
Swamp star Twinkle Kavanaugh is lying about conservative outsider Will Ainsworth, because Twinkle is the one who didn't support Trump. The truth, Will Ainsworth proudly supports Trump and campaigned for him against crooked Hillary, calling Trump the only choice for true conservatives. So when you hear Twinkle's lies, remember.
Twinkle, twinkle, big swamp star, career politician and lobbyist you are. Voted for the largest tax in state history.
Twinkle Kavanaugh, another lying career politician, swamp lobbyist, bureaucrat, or Will Ainsworth, the pro-Trump conservative outsider Alabama needs.
Paid for by friends of Will Ainsworth, 7520 Browns Valley Road, Gunnersville, Alabama, 35976.
The President of the United States!
Just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
When President Trump promised tax cuts, Twinkle Kavanaugh promised that those savings would go back into the pockets of hardworking Alabamians. And both Trump and Twinkle lived up to their promises. Just weeks ago, Twinkle Kavanaugh, as head of the Public Service Commission, led the effort to return $337 million of the Trump tax cuts to electricity customers in Alabama. That's more than $300 million Twinkle Kavanaugh ordered the big utilities to return to hardworking Alabamians. And under Twinkle, the price of natural gas for our homes hit its lowest mark in a decade, putting money back in the pockets of Alabama families, keeping her promise to turn Christian values into conservative government. Twinkle Kavanaugh for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Twinkle for Alabama, Post Office Box 240367, Montgomery, Alabama 36124.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue. It's a block from the door.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time, and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole. 727-879-8919 or go to coldplumbing.com.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a very humid day on the way. Sunshine limited today, and it looks like scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms developing. Locally heavy rainfall amounts. High temperature around 90. The heat index near or above 100. The storms will fade out in the overnight hours tonight. Low temperature falls to the mid-70s. Tomorrow, look for widespread showers and storms, especially by the afternoon and evening. High in the lower 90s on Election Day. Wednesday's high also right around 92, with still a generous supply of showers and storms here and there. But I think by Thursday and Friday, the storms start to thin out in number. Not as many storms around. High temperatures edge back to the middle 90s. Our weather app has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts wherever you go. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228 in our closing segment here. I want to try to bring things back in together on this meeting. Tell the audience what you are going to be looking for as the post-meeting. What are some of the signs that it worked, it didn't work, that you're going to be looking for?
Well, first, as I said, the fact that we've actually had this meeting now, this summit as they're calling it, I think is something of an accomplishment, if for nothing else to ratchet back some of the tensions that I've witnessed firsthand in Central and Eastern Europe. Beyond that, I would look for some sort of statement, way forward on Syria, with maybe some associated timetables, some enforcement mechanisms about the withdrawal, as we talked earlier about the withdrawal of foreign troops. In my opinion, I don't think the Russians are going to admit to their continued involvement in eastern Ukraine. I'm hopeful that the administration is not going to back off on the non-recognition of Crimea. To me, I think that is something that we need to hang tough on, regardless of other things, if for nothing else, to maintain that kind of leverage with Russia. The arms control agreements, I think, again, my opinion, we may see an extension of the latest SALT agreements or whatever we're calling them, START. But both sides, this administration has made a commitment to modernize, if not expand, our nuclear arsenal. And we could certainly do that on our side, and the Russians have been literally dumping money into their nuclear arsenal. So I don't know.
And they're using, there really have been more tactical weapons where they're using low output nuclear devices such as mortar shells and artillery and things.
There's that. They've finally solved some problems with their sub-launch ballistic missiles, so they have a new class of nuclear ballistic missile submarines, relatively new class, and they're introducing new classes of ICBMs to replace some of their aging systems. So I say that all in a way that maybe if we extend it so that there's not an arms race while each side continues to modernize, but I'd be very surprised if we saw actual reductions in those numbers in any meaningful way come out of this meeting.
Let's talk about the North Korea-Russian relationship. I was kind of surprised at Kim Jong-un meeting with Putin, but what do you, from a Soviet perspective or Russia perspective, what do you think they are thinking about when they're talking about denuclearizing the peninsula?
I think in this case, the Russians, and I would argue it's the same thing with the Iranians, we have to face the fact that anything that keeps us on edge, keeps us distracted or tied down redounds to Moscow's advantage, because that's less brain power, that's less resources, that's less diplomatic capital, if you will, that we're going to put into things like Ukraine or Europe. Having said that, I think the Russians have an economic stake in Korea, economic relations with Japan, so they don't want to see anything go sideways on the Korean Peninsula. I think they may assist to some degree, but unlike the Chinese, I don't think the Russians view Korea, North Korea, in the same vein. As long as it kind of muddies along and keeps us occupied and maybe distracted.
We were talking off microphone about Russia's influence in different things, and one of the things that we were talking about is Russia likes chaos on our side of the ledger.
Yes,
and Give the audience your viewpoint of why that is working so well with Russia.
So again, with a disclaimer, this is purely my view only, though I think in this case, Vladimir Putin may share this view, and that is we, as a culture, political culture, media culture, have certainly facilitated what they have done. And what is it that they have done? Well, if we set aside for a moment the hacking of emails and that sort of thing, their involvement in our free media environment, in our open political system, in other words, using what we put forth as the core strengths of our system, they have used those strengths against us to exploit our weaknesses. The Soviets had a term for it called active measures. They didn't create divisions in society. Again, as I mentioned during the break, they don't create divisions in a society, but they find them and they exploit them and they drive wedges through them as a form of political warfare intended to divide us internally, confuse us, separate us from our allies. And so, in their own words, if push ever came to shove and we had some sort of military operation, or let's say they wanted to move in another direction, they've kind of prepared the battle space in that regard. The American population's confidence in traditional media is very low. We tend to be, again, as a culture, uninformed about our sources.
Or misinformed.
Misinformed, that's right. We are now operating in an environment where everyone can stay in their little bubble. They can pick and choose what they expose themselves to. They can filter out things that cause them the least bit of dyspepsia and kind of exist in their own la-la land. So one source is as good as another. Our behavior on social media, in fact, they have done essentially what Madison Avenue has done, so that You order something from an online source, the next time you get on Facebook or whatever, these ads are popping up. Well, they've watched our behaviors, they've watched how we share information, and then they've watched our political structure. And again, my opinion, I think it's vodka shots and popcorn every night in the Kremlin when they turn on pick your media source, as we are shouting at each other. We've gone hyperbolic on any number of social issues. And they have fanned those flames, but they did not create those. And how we get around that as a society, how we get around that as a culture, I certainly don't want the government intervening in the media, but that's something on all of us. Because in this sense, they may have pushed us, but we've kept it going ourselves.
And they're actually taking footage of members of Congress who could stand up and say, Vladimir Putin, interfered in our election, and we know this, and then they're just playing that back to the Russian people, so they kind of go, see, you guys doing pretty good, and they're using it as a news item.
They are. They don't have to edit the clips, and I've seen some of them on RT and this other, RT's ugly little brother, Sputnik, and some of these other services. They don't have to make anything up. They take some of the over-the-top, what I personally view as irresponsible rhetoric, the conspiracy theories, as well as some of the other things that emerged in our culture, these extreme things, and then they just run them, and they expose their own people to it, and they can say, look, this isn't us. Let's hear Congressman so-and-so, or let's listen to journalist such-and-such from the United States or wherever say it in their own words. And that, I think, is, again, is on us, that when our media elites, figures, however you want to call it, and certainly our politicians get their faces in front of a microphone, they do need to, I think, take a breath and think about what they're about to say. It might score points with their base back home in District X, but then they can't turn back around and say, hey, the Russians are creating havoc in our system when we're helping the Russians create that kind of havoc.
From looking at this meeting, do you see a visit by Putin to the United States before they say the midterm?
I really don't know. I don't know that it could be arranged before the midterm. I think it'll all depend on what comes out of this, whether or not the president feels he's got the political capital to pursue this with a no-kidding state visit and summit, or if this was just kind of an icebreaker and we'll see what happens in the future. But at this point, I really don't know. I don't know when to expect the next step.
I was looking at the Russia stock market as such, and it seems to be under a lot of pressure here. And is that because of the economic situation in Russia now?
I think it's a combination of factors.
Is it the sanctions?
It's sanctions. There's obviously the volatility of the oil markets. I read a Forbes analysis that even if oil got back up over $100 a barrel, that things have gotten to a point in the Russian economy that still would not give them growth. It would kind of sustain them on the current path. It would get their government perhaps out of deficit spending, which they fell into following the most recent collapse of oil. So I think what you see there is just this kind of new normal for Russia, that they're going to chug along at 1%, maybe 1.5% growth, which is better than a recession, but it's just not going to get them anywhere.
How excited was Vladimir Putin on the Space Command concept that Donald Trump came up with?
Well, if you judge by their media reaction, of course, you know, once again, the United States is going to militarize space. And of course, they're just babes in the woods when it comes to space. They would never seek to militarize space. Again, I think they look at when you separate out their...
It's almost like Star Wars. I mean, it's kind of like Putin's got to be saying, damn, I got to compete in that arena too.
They do see those kinds of things as competitors. Okay, how are we going to respond to this? And it will all depend on what we do. If this is a bureaucratic shuffling of the cards that creates a lot of assistant undersecretaries for this, that, and the other thing without any real translation into capabilities, then... It's no big deal to the Russians, but they do tend to get very concerned when we announce things like this because they feel they'll have to respond.
One last question. Vladimir Putin did a video demo of a new rocket system that he was using, pulsating nuclear charges that were coming out of the rocket. Do you think that was El Toro Poo-Poo, or do you think that was real?
Having not seen it, I'll defer any judgment. Did he have his shirt on? I would ask that.
He did.
Fully clothed. It was probably a setup. He likes to get in various states of undress when the cameras are rolling if he's trying to make a point. I don't know. I don't know why that is, but if I was advising him, I'd literally tell him, boss, keep your shirt on. It's just not what it was, and go from there.
Mark, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be with us in the audience today. I really appreciate your friendship. I sincerely appreciate your knowledge and your drinking capabilities. Oh,
thank you very much.
Not in that order, though.
Thanks.
News on 93.1 FM. Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
In our time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm lifelong Republican Rich Anderson, a candidate for our Court of Criminal Appeals. There's only one candidate in the runoff who's fought for crime victims in every appellate court. That's Rich Anderson. There's only one candidate who has any experience in appellate court. That's Rich Anderson. I'm Rich Anderson. I've kept dozens of murderers off our streets, and I've got the experience to get justice done in our Court of Criminal Appeals. Choose the right experience on July 17th. Choose Rich Anderson. Paid for by Anderson for Alabama. P.O. Box 2337, Montgomery, Alabama, 36102.
I'm Judge Michelle Thomas, and I'm running for the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. Did you know that 75 to 80% of civil appeals are family court cases permanently affecting the lives of children and families of Alabama? And I've ruled on over 13,000 of these cases. My opponent, she has never ruled on even one. July 17th, vote for the judge with a heart for families and children. Vote Michelle Manley Thomason, second on the ballot, but first in experience.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Judge Michelle Manley Thomason, P.O. Box 221, Fairhope, Alabama, 36533.
Will Dismukes, candidate for House District 88, has become mighty popular in Montgomery. The last 3 weeks, big money special interest groups are showering him with campaign cash. Dismukes has received more than $50,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 26 days. Let me repeat that. $50,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 26 days. Autauga and Elmore County voters are very concerned. Who will Dismukes represent? The hardworking, tax-paying citizens of District 88 or Montgomery's big money special interest? These special interest groups' top priority is an immediate 6 cent per gallon gas tax increase, with an additional 18 cent per gallon gas tax increase over the next 4 years. It's time for Will Dismukes to answer the question. What did he promise the Montgomery swamp dwellers in return for all that campaign cash? On July 17th, the voters will have a clear choice to vote against another political game player beholden to Montgomery special interest groups who are committed to raising our taxes.
Paid for by Al Boone for Alabama House, 512 Tumka Street, Prattville, Alabama.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Team, I recently learned that a good boss has to know how to delegate. What? That means I get to have other people do the things I don't want to do. So from now on, Tina, you'll be driving me to work. Bill, here's my laundry. Jack, talk to my wife when she calls. Remember, you have to pretend you're interested or she gets really mad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Where are we from? Is it the land of the ice and snow? Yes. I want to thank Dr. Mark Conversino for being in today. He's a fountain of information between Sorensen, Dr. Murphy, and Dr. Conversino. We've got the globe kind of covered here. I guess we don't really need a Canadian expert. Just for kind of interest here, one, I want to remind you that this hour is brought to you by Brubaker Motors on the Eastern Bypass and Prattville location. It's Brubaker Motors that makes this kind of programming available for you, so I would love for you to go by and thank them, but also just see what they have. As if you're buying a brand new car, just have Brubaker Motors on your brand new car buying list. Let's start out here with former Obama ambassador and Margaret Brennan. Margaret Brennan is the one that does the Face the Nation, took over for that for Dickerson. And it's kind of interesting to listen to these before, what they're saying before the summit, and then kind of knowing what happened afterwards.
Ambassador Burns, let me start with you. You said that the best thing that can happen from this meeting is that it would be Hippocratic, which is to say the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. So what would that look like?
Well, I think first it means it's essential that the president make clear to President Putin that the election meddling, which was documented in the indictments last week, is a major assault on our democracy and that it's very serious business. I think it means not succumbing to the illusion that personal rapport can transform relationships or that there are grand bargains to be done out there. And third, I think you can can focus on a few practical steps, especially in arms control, where the New START agreement on strategic nuclear weapons expires in a couple of years. And that's a conversation we should resume with the Russians.
That personal rapport point, it seems something that, is that something that every president kind of has to learn? I remember previous administrations, for example, when George W. Bush came into office, they said, we're not going to fall for just this cozy relationship with a Russian leader. There are interests separate and apart from these personal relationships.
Well, personal relationships obviously matter, but they got to be tethered to history, to a sense of what it is that you want to accomplish. This isn't just about getting along with another leader. It's about pursuing American interests, and that's what you got to keep in focus.
President Trump in the past has always blamed his predecessors for the reason that the relationship between Russia and the U.S. is so bad. Is that a fair criticism?
I don't think it is. I mean, in the tweet the president sent out this morning, he was basically saying that not only are relations at low ebb since the end of the Cold War, but it's basically his predecessor's fault. And that also is not tethered to history in the sense that it ignores the fact that, you know, of Russia's aggression in Ukraine in 2014, its intervention in Syria in 2015, and its interference in our elections in 2016.
So they were kind of saying we're, you know, getting to know you is a good thing this year. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bill. Bill, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Good afternoon, Dan. Hope you had a great weekend.
I had a magnifico weekend.
I heard you was in Birmingham.
Yep.
Yep. Listen, buddy, why are they so hopped up on somebody messing with the elections whenever they bring in all these illegals and give them IDs so they can vote?
Well, they're not supposed to vote, but they end up voting.
I'm sorry. I apologize for laughing.
That's all right.
But I'm just curious. I mean, is it just because one's more visible than the other, or...
Well, one's more towards their leaning than the other.
Yeah. Okay. I would just thought I'd try to see the bright side of something.
I like that.
Didn't work.
I like it when you try to see the bright side.
Hey, it helps sometimes, brother. You have a great week.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you. So now Margaret Brennan's going to weigh in, and she kind of goes, you know, we've been asking questions. Now we need to get, you know, one of the commentators on there is doing this. We've been asking questions. When are we going to get answers here?
Margaret, in the opening comments that we just heard from the two presidents, President Trump said that he will ask Vladimir Putin a lot of questions. Aren't we past the part of asking questions? That happened at their last meeting. Don't we need answers right now and a response?
In terms of the election meddling?
Yes.
As the president said, what do you expect a Perry Mason moment? He seems to be sort of dismissing this idea that a confrontation is what is really needed, even though he prides himself on tough talk. The question, I think, is sort of he wants to turn the page. He wants something he can put the Trump brand on in terms of a new deal, whether it's arms control or whether it's some kind of breakthrough in Syria or in Ukraine. The concern, as diplomats had said to me leading up to this, is let's just have our fingers crossed that NATO is good enough and he doesn't give Putin anything. What does that mean? They're concerned, perhaps, could he call off military exercises in the Baltic, something like what he did when he met with the North Korean leader recently, call something off without getting anything in return from Vladimir Putin. Could he do something like recognize his annexation of Crimea, which, despite the denials of U.S. officials on the record, they will say off the record, yes, he has opened the door to that. And why does that matter? Because you are then blessing the seizure of territory by force, something that international law has, you know, been established to try to prevent those kind of things. So I don't expect the president to go in with a confrontation on that. But as Major Garrett pointed out, the Trump administration on paper does have a tough policy, a hardline position against Russia, whether it's liquefied natural gas, as he laid out, whether it's arms to Ukraine.